Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 632 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is May 23rd, 2021. We are a gaming podcast, wiser, more mature sometimes, most often not. But yeah, we like to talk about video games. We also like to talk about life. We broadcast every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 3 p.m. Central if you're one of those lowly individuals that lives out that way. Just kidding. And we're on Twitch. We're on YouTube as well. So you can not only watch us live, you can certainly participate. And then also we do send this out to audio. So, you know, if you are on, a Podbean app or your favorite podcast app, you should be able to get the podcast there as well. So maybe you want to listen to it while you are running and doing exercise. God forbid. My name is Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. I am just one of your hosts today, literally just one of two. Mr. Robin Tate,
hey.
Also on the show.
Evening, Greg. How you doing, buddy? It is Robin Good. Tate here. I am in Ballymena, Northern Ireland, recovering from the Eurovision Song Contest and our fantastic win from United Kingdom. Zero points... what do you mean? That doesn't mean we win. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm in Ballymena, Northern Ireland. On the Twitters and everywhere and gaming, I am at Bongo the Scene. And it's just Greg and I tonight because that's just the way it is. Greg and mongooses. Monkeys.
Yes, the Mongai are here with us. you know, everybody had stuff going on. We do anticipate the return of Mark Hanix as well as our favorite pink mongoose next week.
Hello, my fellow podcast family.
I got all my sisters with me.
And also potentially Kim. Everybody had stuff going on today. So at one point I thought this might even be a solo show. I don't think that's happened yet. Robin, you might have recorded one.
No, I think Mark did one. I think I was ready one night to do one.
Right.
Mark ran completely solo. I think I was more for technical issues rather than anything else. But yeah, what the heck.
Well, we pulled it together. Yeah, so we are here. We're podcasting like promised. Some shout outs real quickly for birthdays. Gary Harris. Boomer, as we know him, turning 23 on the 23rd.
What?
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Huh? Mm-hmm. Well, May 23rd is his birthday. I just assigned birthday ages randomly. So Gary is one of the very few men on this podcast birthday wishes that will ever get a young age.
Huh.
Because James Creedy, who is having a birthday today, as well, John Mouse's friend, James, 76.
Yeah, at least.
He looks good for 76.
Yeah, so my American friend, it's Mick Creedy. But anyway, I only really met James once, and that was at was it EGX or one of the retro gaming things in Birmingham, where we all got very, 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 very drunk. And there's a video. Right. There's a video of it. I'll maybe put it on sometimes to the show. And we all said hello to Duke. Hi, Duke. Please wish you were right. here. And he didn't know Duke or anybody. But anyway, there's a bit of him trumpeting through a paper as pissed as a newt. He was good fun. He had really, really long hair back then. But I see now on his Facebook today, he's all grown up and got all matured and professional.
That's what happens when it falls out. You get older, it starts falling out.
Yeah, what do you say?
It's very sad.
So, birthdays. Happy birthday!
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Insert name here. Happy birthday to
Gentleman's not recognized.
I see Kim actually is in the chat as well, listening in. So she's participating in her own special way.
Okay, well, she's going to be among Kim Goose then. So we'll just sort that now, I think. Absolutely. Kim Goose. Mongoose. There we go. And we've got a mongoose lord. Okay. So it's about this time, I think, then, Greg.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right. Story time. This is the part of the podcast where we just unwind on what's been going on through the week. It's been a bit of a busy week on my end, Robert. I don't know what it's been like for you.
Oh, just crazy. I'm literally just trying to keep my head above water. We are just so busy. So many people wanting to spend money and do things. It's great coming out of the woo flu. It is good that is happening, but holy crap, I need. I know this sounds like a nightmare, Greg, but I need another two or three of me. Imagine clones of me.
I don't think the world could handle that, Robin. I think literally would fall apart.
Or just definitely. So it has been extremely, extremely busy. So I sort of blank it out because it's all like a blur.
A blur.
And this week is going to be no different. And I actually think just the rest of the year looks like it's not going to be any different right now. So that's kind of nutty.
You know, it's funny you said that. I will concur. We've been having the same kind of things happening on my side with work. It has been just nonstop. And every time I think, oh, we might start to get a lull, because traditionally in my work, it's very cyclical. And right about now, we see slowdown. Companies have kind of spent some of their upfront budgets. They're now in the process of conducting the research that they're doing with us. And they're not doing a lot of new stuff. And so they're kind of just waiting for results to come in. And so May into June usually starts to slow down. It's just not the case. It's been crazy. So
no, I had a major just there this week. I mean, I really am flat out, unbelievably flat out. And I had one of the major groups that I don't do a lot of business with approached me. I think it was Tuesday of this week, to say we want to come and pitch to you what we want you to do for us.
Yeah,
it's not the other way around. And this is a massive group with maybe 300. Sites in Northern Ireland, and they're talking about half a dozen tests this week.
That's the best kind of request.
Yeah, super.
We want to tell me what you want me to charge you.
We want to come to your office and pitch you what we think we want, and then you're going to tell us what we want, and then we want to do half a dozen of them this year and roll out to the whole group of 300 stores next year. And okay, all right. So so just keep. Bon. Every time I get a thing cleared, two more appear.
Yeah.
So, but hey, good complaint, but at times too busy. I actually, I caught myself out here on Thursday evening. I did play a little bit of Xbox, but I came out to play a bit of Xbox, but I caught myself sitting here going, I'll just do that quick, send that out to my PA. That do me a quote for him and a quote for that person and a quote for that person, and I'll just send that off and that wee thank you email to that person. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll just sort this out. And yeah. And that was at maybe, I don't know, 11:30, 10 to 12 at night. And I hate that, getting emails, but even at 5 to 12 at night, I was getting a email in from a supplier for something that I asked them to really expedite for me. And I had to acted it on there and then. It's just, so just for the foreseeable future, I'm just going to see that I'm going to have to cut in an extra hour at the end of the evenings just to try and keep on top. So that's work.
That is work. Work's a big part of our lives, right?
Yeah, the other thing's a big part of my life is a three-year-old at the moment and all the other kids.
Yes.
So she did get this lovely bed, new bed, big quilt. She's tiny and she's in it and she loves it. But last night... Well, Greg, you'll know this one. She hasn't had a poo in a few days. And if people with three-year-olds, it might be slightly different for you, but yeah, I'd say probably 5 days. Yeah.
Right.
And so it's not that she's sick or there's anything wrong with her, but a three-year-old is aware of the poo. And she's frightened of the poo. In fact, she calls the poos dinosaurs, and she's frightened of dinosaurs. So,
okay,
yeah, so she's getting a wee bit of extra stuff to help that at the moment. But it is a fear thing. It is common enough, I hear, first time it's happened with us, but common enough for three-year-olds that are around potty training that they're a bit frightened of it, the feeling.
Well, I think also, yeah, especially when you do get constipated, that then becomes a little bit painful. Mm-hmm. And so the choice is not going to the bathroom or getting pain trying to go to the bathroom. So they opt for the, I'm going to go the easiest path. There's no pain if I don't poo.
Yep. So last night at about midnight or so, she started to do the dry cry. So anyway, I went and stepped into bed beside her and lay down because it's an adult size cot, single bed cot, as I think you call them, a single bed. And then I fell asleep with her.
Okay.
But it wasn't until about 2 that she fell asleep properly, or half 2. So I lost a few hours, and then she was up at 5. So today I'm like, eyes on sticks, and all that stuff. So, hey, ginger balls. See, when you say you're tired, you haven't a clue. So that's not so bad. Anyway, I don't know. Did we talk about the rice ball machines before or after the show last week? I think it was after.
I believe we talked about rice ball. we talked about that pre or like the start of the show.
Okay.
I have since received a rice ball shaker from you, which was really funny because it was not expecting it.
I'm sorry. I haven't received the 5 for here yet.
I got mine. So there's that.
See, I see the photograph of it all, like the little Japanese writing.
Oh,
all
God,
over
yeah.
It.
Yeah. We actually want you to explain the instructions to us because literally I have no clue what to do with it other than we figure it's a lot of this.
So just to refresh. I can't remember what night it was. Was it Saturday night or something? I don't know, but I had a few. Oh, yes, I had friends over on the Saturday night, and we had a few too many rums. And then I ordered these plastic devices to make rice balls. I did talk about this. 3 clumps, and you cheek them around, and you make rice balls. And I got the Amazon, Greg's Amazon home address is in my shopping list, and it was, okay, one to him. It seemed like a good idea at the time. So I get the notification that it's been delivered. I'm sorry, but yeah.
No. I opened that package and I immediately just started laughing. I mean, I was just like, oh, Robin.
But you said to me, we have to stop this. How can we, can you not put a blocker? But again, where would the fun be in that?
No, and your response was spot on, and it made me laugh a little bit because I was like, yeah, no, you've got a point. Why try and stop this behavior? Why not embrace it? The only time you really need to stop it is when it becomes super expensive. But so far, you've done okay with that. I don't think you've bought anything that has been ridiculously bad. Like you really regretted it. I mean, you bought a paddle board. Mm-hmm. I don't think you were drunk when you did that, though. I could be wrong.
No, that night was. You may have. That was, yeah.
But you used it. And used it several times.
It's been to Italy. It's been all over. Yeah. So it's been good. I haven't really enjoyed that. What the hell? Good fun, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I'm glad that was it. You got your rice balls. Huh? And I haven't had any sleep. And this week, a person I work with a lot. They're a supplier and one of my key clients. And we had lunch together, her and another guy. And she said, Robin, here, you collect these, don't you? And she handed me a bag with a Nintendo 64 in it and a pile of games. And I went,
no way.
No way. I says, I was just clearing stuff out. You collect this stuff, don't you? I says, well, yeah, you can sell it. Oh, no. And I'm going, yeah, boxed Zelda. Yeah, box. Yeah. Okay, I'll take it. So, yeah, it was lovely. But it's lovely that people
recognize your nerdiness. I think that's going to spark now a conversation when we get into games and stuff. Maybe we talk about Nintendo memories. So we were talking about Xbox memories last week. We'll wait. We'll get through this, and then we'll talk about that.
If you want.
Anyway.
Okay.
Anything else, Robin?
Not really. I haven't even had time much to play with myself much this week. It's been that busy. I've been too tired.
I mean, you know you're busy when you don't have time to play.
Yeah, I just haven't. God, I want to do this, but I'm tired. I could just do the time. Christ almighty. I've got to get moving. Yeah, so that's been bad. What else? Nothing weird. Somebody gave me something free. Busy with work. Took the hot tub down. It's away for a while.
Why is that?
Well, do you know?
Is it because it's got a hole?
No, dear Liza. There's no hole in my hot tub, dear Liza. Dear Liza, there's a hole in my hot tub, dear Liza. A hole. We find that we use it a lot for a month or a month and a half or so or 2 months. And I got into it one night this week and went, all right, okay, I need to change the water. You know what? That's it. It's going to wait for a while. Mm. So it'll maybe come out again in July or August. And then we go through the process again. And that's kind of why I'm glad I never invested in a full, big, solid one.
Right.
Because the same thing would happen. And so I put that away for a while. And I've reclaimed the bandstand. And I sat out there last night with a glass of wine and watched the sun go down. Oh, yeah, that's right. Nice. So, yeah, that's about it. That was about it for me.
Okay.
What about you, Mr. DeLisi?
It's been a busy week. On obviously the work front, we talked about that, so I won't go back into that. I did get my second vaccination shot on Friday.
Wow, where did you get it?
I'm sorry?
Where did you get it?
In my shoulder.
You lucky bastard. Why did the doctor want to give me mine in my ass?
That's, I think, says more about your doctor than anything.
Okay.
Pfizer shot, literally no ill effects. I mean, about the only thing is when I touched right here, I can kind of feel the soreness of where it was.
I would love to.
The shot was.
Yeah.
But my shoulder feels totally fine.
Uh-huh.
I've had literally no side effects, no headaches, no nothing. So,
I had a sore arm for there too. That was about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm quite pleased with that. It's at least done with. It's over.
So it hasn't really happened that much here yet, okay? Because there hasn't.
Okay.
The user are a bit ahead of us apart from the taking the panties off your face.
Right.
But over there now, it seems to be a big push that outside you don't have it and you don't need to wear one if you're fully vaccinated. So have you been in a shop now without your mask on? Have you? Do you feel the need to do it?
So most of the businesses around here still are requiring masks. Mm. Like my gym still requires masks. The Safeway that I shop at, that still requires masks inside. And so, you know, I fine. You know what? To me, it's the same thing as shirt and shoes. You know, if a business asks me to do this to you know, be their patron, fine. And I have a choice. I can not be a patron to them and go somewhere else if I want. But, you know, it's their right, and that's fine. I haven't seen a lot of people pushing back against that so far. Every once in a while, like in Safeway in particular, the grocery store, I've seen a couple people walking around without a mask on. And you just know they're the ones that are like, you know, I don't need to wear a mask anywhere type person. Whatever. I'm vaccinated now. It doesn't bother me. In restaurants, once you sit down, it's pretty much take your mask off.
Mm.
And, you're wearing your mask to the table, you take it off. Outdoors, 100% off. Nobody's wearing masks on outdoors. And my personal feeling is, nor should they. Outside, in fresh air, that is the best possible place for you to be without a mask on.
Yeah, the only time you would have it on outside would be if, I mean, there was you were in a, I don't know, a big crowd of people outside. That's not,
but
that's
but again,
not really outside.
You shouldn't be because 6 feet of social distancing. Yeah. So you shouldn't be in a big crowd.
So again, if you're being sensible anyway, you know, that'd be it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm interesting watching for years, since I've been going to Florida quite a bit, our feed on YouTube is a lot about the Disney parks and Universal, right, especially Universal, one of our favorites. So they're now relaxing a lot of the rules. So Universal, right, and Disney, you no longer have to wear masks outside. Right. Yes, on some of the rides and especially indoors and restaurants stuff out there. But watching people, even from today, publish videos from today and from yesterday, it is still about 50-50. I would say actually 70-30, yeah, with more people were still wearing. And again, I think they're here to stay. And I think if it makes you feel comfortable, fair enough. But don't stick it in people's face.
And I actually totally agree with that. Look, you know, as we go through this year and in future years, as the flu season rolls around, I fully expect to see masks come back out. I think it makes sense, especially for older people to be protected.
Especially at Halloween.
Be smart. Yeah. So, you know, I don't see an issue with that. It is a personal choice. I'm not going to be that guy yelling at you from across the street or something, being like, you know, hey, the horse mask definitely needs to come back.
Yeah, but this should do me.
Yeah,
I don't need to buy any more.
That should do everybody, Robin.
Hello. Hello. My name is Fraser. I'm Fraser the horse. Anyway, sorry. I digress.
So, second jab. It's good. So glad to have that behind me now.
I had mine behind me too.
And so with that, we went out to a restaurant last night. There was a bike shop and a pub. So I posted this picture up on Twitter, especially for Dan Natman. By the way, big shout out to Lord, Hardly Dan, Big Smooth 8, and of course Gamer Girl. They're all in the chat right now. Mm-hmm. So I posted this picture up because I instantly thought of him. But it's a bike shop, but a pub as well. So they have this. It's kind of interesting. Literally half of the inside is dedicated to bike parts and actual biking.
Okay.
And then there's the other half of it, which is like a big like wheel countertop where you can go in, sit in, have a pint of craft brew or wine. They've got food, and then they have an outdoor patio that they do music on the weekends, and they serve, you know, dinner. And so we went and sat on the patio last night and listened to some music and had dinner.
I didn't see that pic, but I think I've seen stuff about that place before, and there may be more than one of those, or definitely
quite possibly.
Now, question possibly to you is,
yeah,
the dress code, did you have to wear lycra?
No, thank goodness. No, there was no lycra involved.
They're missing a beat.
In fact, I think most of the people that were there are not bike riders. But I did get a pizza called the Angry Pig.
Oh.
And it was pepperoni, sausage, jalapenos, and hot sauce. Oh. And it just set your mouth on fire. But it was so good. So good. So, really good stuff. Wow, enjoyed that. Yeah,
really? I mean, that's one of those times, like, you know, Cindy's asking you out to dinner, like, you know, after you die, I want to be cremated, Cindy, you know? Why do you want to be cremated? Well, I want you to get me and put me into that Angry Pig pizza, you know? Because it's really hot and spicy, so I can blow your backs outside again. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm not even going there.
No. Letting that go. So a couple entertainment things to talk about. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been watching it on, and you have Disney Plus, mm-hmm, there is a new series out called Star Wars: The Bad Batch.
Yeah, watch some
animated Clone Wars. I personally like this series more than the Clone Wars. It doesn't feel, I don't know, as kind of typical Star Wars tropey, if you will. So I've been enjoying it. So I definitely recommend it if you're into Star Wars. It's worth a watch. Animations are good. It does use that kind of that
cel-shaded thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Cel-shaded kind of look to it for the characters. Although when you see anything in space, it looks fantastic. Good stuff there. And then a new audiobook to potentially explore. So it's a series called Section 64. I came across this because it's our favorite narrator, Artsy Bray.
He never talks.
I just gravitate to him at this point. He just does such a great job. And so this is space aliens, you know, kind of theme, which I think there's two types of books he predominantly does, which is either aliens or zombies, apocalypse kind of things. But Section 64 Ambush is the first book. There is a second book out now, so I'm going to get into that as well. But good stuff. Really enjoyed it. Part of it happens in the San Francisco area.
Oh, dear.
And so as they're talking about it, because that's where I used to live, you know, I very much related to some of the story locations. So I found that kind of interesting. But and it's a good book. I enjoyed it thoroughly. So
I finished literally Mountain Man. We were talking about it last week.
Yeah.
Literally within half an hour of me starting it again, that book is finished. So I'm now on to the next one. Okay. It's very exciting. It's very good. Very good.
Yes.
I've been watching Mayor of Easttown. Someone recommended that. I think it may have been Phil. And that is Titanic Girl.
Right.
What's her name? Yeah, her. From the Titanic. The one that was drawn. Rose, whatever her name is. It's very good. The first chapter, I watched the first episode and thought, oh, this is a bit flat. And then the second episode came out and there was so many twists and so many turns. It was like, wow, this is good. So she's a detective in a small town, related to everybody. And it seems like everybody she's related to is involved in the crime somewhere down the line. And it's, or not, or suspected of, or maybe. So that's kind of cool. So it's a real whodunit. And it's everybody from the school teacher to the local priest to the boyfriend. You know, everybody's a suspect at the moment. It's pretty good. So yeah, check out the Mayor of Easttown. That's quite good. Quite good. Cool.
All right. Well, that's me. That's it. One last thing.
One more thing.
So a couple weeks back, I talked about how my wife went on this crazy shopping spree where she bought $600 worth of Mark Roberts.
I meant to get her about that.
Yeah. And so with that, I was kind of given the green light if I wanted to get something. She really wasn't going to say anything to that. So I ended up picking up a 32-inch ultra-wide monitor, which is now illuminating my face because it's so freaking big. But absolutely love it. I picked up a ViewSonic monitor, great deal on Amazon. Was getting rave reviews. I didn't need a 4K monitor because I don't game on this monitor, but I wanted something that could at least do 1440. So the in between. And it was like $330, I think, all said and done. And it's fantastic. Really, really, really like it. So
my main one here. I've got the four, but the main one in front of me, it is a big-ish one, but it's 4K. Yeah, I used to have the Xbox in it as well, and then in the TV with the Switch box. But then when the Series X came, well, the Switch box degraded it and didn't give me the full. Anyway, yeah, it's lovely. The price of these monitors, I did drop into PC World on Friday because it's open and had a look, and they have been their monitor prices now for some of these Samsung, because I generally have got two BenQs and two Samsungs. One of them's curved.
Right.
Anyway, I was thinking about, well, maybe do I get the others? But then I looked at this other thing, which was the width of my arms are outstretched, and that's me edge to edge of my monitors.
Is that the super ultra wide?
Yeah, and there's this one. Yeah. This one will replace three.
Ultra wide definitely is the path to go, if you ask me, in terms of monitors. It may require some weird resolution maneuvering for games that aren't set up to handle ultra wide, because it's not so 16:9 is your typical ratio for widescreen.
Yeah.
But ultra wide I think goes to 29:21:9 or something like that. I think that's the ratio, so it is more stretched out. But yeah. I don't know. I'm thrilled with it. I'm happy. Glad I did it. I did get a new mounting arm for this, though. The previous mounting arm I had for wall mounting, it didn't allow for my monitor to go up and down. It was just kind of front, forward and back, and then it would tilt. This arm actually can go up, down, front, back, or tilt in all directions. So just makes it a little easier to move it around where I want it to be on my desk.
Groovy. Well, maybe I will. Maybe I won't. I don't know. I'm just in the mood to to maybe upgrade some PC stuff here. But again, because I don't game on it, there's a half decent card in it, and it is powering four monitors at the moment. It's right. Doing pretty much everything I do, but just the odd little time I'm just noticing stuff. And that's just the way they get you. They upgrade the software, and that's how they get you. Like Kentucky Fried Chicken, they put something in it that craves it once a month. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I like the sound of that, Greg.
All right, well, let's move on. Then let's talk about games.
Said if you're going to play the Game Boy, you got to learn to play it right.
Speaking of pathetic losers, games we pay for to get free. Let's face it, these are all the subscriptions that we are deeply involved in. We're at the tail end of the month, but I thought I would just throw out some reminders for games that are still available. Mm-hmm. So on Xbox Live Gold, you have Armello, which is available to the 31st of May. Let's see, we've got Dungeons 3, which is available through the entire rest of this month and into June. And then Tropico 4 is available till the end of the month. So there's that. PlayStation Plus games, you've still got Wreckfest Drive Hard, Die Last, Battlefield 5, and Stranded Deep. Those are all available. And then Twitch Prime games are not going to go anywhere. They're still there. Psychonauts, Cluster Truck, Gone Home. And you just deleted everything on me. You rat bastard. Titan Souls, High Hell, and I Hope are all part of Twitch games. Stadia Pro, it's still kicking. Still there. Trine 4, The Nightmare Prince, Hotline Miami 2, Wrong Number, and Floor Kids. Apparently Epic Games Store, the free game that was available, is no longer available, so best of luck to you. Now that they're in court cases, I haven't seen any new games come out. So who knows? All right, let's dive into what we've been playing. Robin, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay, I've played a lot more. I've managed to fit in stuff late at night time, when I've been coming out and playing in Mass Effect Legendary Edition. I'm having such a wonderful time with this game. I am. It is so nice to be back here in this universe. I said this before. It is a beautiful looking game now. I want to bring up some of these images that I've been popping a few screen shares up on Twitter. I've just found it to be like me and my Mako have been out there, and there's been some beautiful vista. I thought, oh yeah, that would make a nice photograph. Get rid of that one and put up this one. They're being beautiful, lush. It looks fantastic. It is gorgeous. And this is the Mass Effect 1. This is the first Mass Effect. You know, that's...
Okay, I'm going to make a comment here. Yes. And this is part of my controversial comments coming up. I think it looks good. I would not say Mass Effect, especially the first one, looks great compared to modern day games.
Okay, I get you. I get you.
It does look good. It does look good. But it does still have a little bit of a dated look to it.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, maybe as we progress, it'll get even better looking. I don't know. But remember, the Mass Effect 1 was 2007. And there is a passion of about the game. Maybe rose-tinted glasses. When I hear on this the image that's on the screen now, when I seen that, I went, wow. I mean, just look at that. I'm looking at the planet. I mean, I've done an episode chapter today that I was on the moon, and I see the Earth, you know, driving mm-hmm. across the moon, and it's crisp and clear now, and I'm on it. There's the big screen behind me, and it's fabulous. And I'm going, wow, is that what it's really like for one of those moon men? They have a name. I think they're called astronauts. Those guys, when they look up and see the Earth, it looks fantastic. And just that caught me. And there's a fondness for the wacky Mako. You know, that Mako control scheme is wacky. I want to talk about some of the stuff as well that Kim had mentioned about the save points. And I said, oh yes, of course, the save points are automatic, I said. They're not. You have to manually save, and I did get caught there, and that's probably my fault. Anyway, I'm loving it. I think it's fab looking. There's a fondness to me. There's some stuff that's on there now, which is doing comparisons between the original and the new version. I think it looks great, but that's besides the point, because the game is just fun. Now, I did mention, and I asked a question of people last week, how do they play the game? And generally, right. I tried to play as myself. which was a decent enough fella, tried to make the decisions that I would try to genuinely make for people and try to do my best. And I've made this decision that on this playthrough, I was going to be a rat bastard.
Right.
As difficult as that was seem, and some of the community members said, well, I couldn't do it because I always give in and I just couldn't find myself doing that. And I have forced myself to generally choose the most horrible of outcomes. And I'm becoming addicted to becoming a rat bastard. Example. Last night or the night before last, I went on a little mini side mission, and this a load of scientists had disappeared, and I had to go and
find... Expedition.
Yes, those ones. I had to go... Let me take another drink. Hold on.
Was it an exhibition of expedition?
Yes, there were expeditionists. Look at the difference in that. Anyway, so I went and I tracked them down onto their planet, which is funny. I'll talk about that in a wee second, and the scanning of planets, which is very different. I tracked them down. They were being held hostage by these weird zombie things. Okay, they'd be zombies, right, which were some of their counterparts, their co-workers. And they had been experimenting on them, the big bad company, and they had kind of turned them into zombies. But when I got in and got rid of those zombies, got into the room, and they were so grateful because they'd been trapped in there for days and days and days. They said, oh, thank goodness for that. I said, well, we're just frigging here for the reward sort of thing. You did all this. You turned these people into zombies. We're really, really, really sorry. But it's all out now. We're so glad it's all out in the open. And, of course, one of the options were, well, you have to be punished for this. And the woman goes, no, you don't really mean that, do you? And my guy goes, boom, 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 and shoots him on the head. Murdered them all, little innocent scientists. I killed them. Another guy the other day, he insulted me slightly. I said, you can't get away with that. Pong! In the head. It's amazing how horrible this guy is. So every opportunity to be horrible. Nuclear bomb going to go off? I don't have time for that. Frig off. It's actually liberatingly refreshing to be so absolutely downright horrible. And I'm enjoying being horrible.
Nothing wrong with enjoying being horrible.
So, there are subtle differences in it as well. So,
talk to me about the planet scanning.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a basic thing. But as the 3/4 games progressed, the first game, you really don't do a lot of planet scanning. It's just there's a bit of text. And the odd time, you get a chance to land if there's something goes on. And then you get into your wonderful Me and My Mako, and you bounce around the planet until you find the whatever it was, whether that be some lost artifact, or maybe you come across a monster, a maw, that attacks you and you have to fight them, which surprised me. Anyway, in the later versions, then you have to find little satellites and you can send them out and you probe the planets. And in the third game, you do lots of scanning and it's like Star Trek. I'm scanning for life forms, a little life forms. Yeah, and there's a lot of fun with it, but the first one is very, very, very basic. So it's just interesting to go right back there to watch how the game did progress gameplay-wise. Over the years, and I'm really looking forward as we go along. Now, I can't stop myself doing everything at the moment. I've only completed one of the main big campaign parts of Mass Effect 1, but I keep on disappearing off to little side missions and side things, and that's going to take me a long time to get through all this, but I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Sorry.
See, now I'm going to continue on my controversial pathway with this game. So this was one of the biggest failings of Mass Effect, in my opinion. Was the planet exploration. Because if you think about it, Mass Effect promised this big universe. You could explore any planet. You could go anywhere. And the reality was that was not the case. It was you could scan a bunch of planets, try and find some minerals off them. Every once in a while, you could land on a planet. But for the most part, there were a number of planets you didn't ever actually even go to or do actual landings on. And when you did go on them, what was actually there was pretty sparse. And I look at that and then I think about a game like No Man's Sky. And No Man's Sky just really delivers, if you will, on that promise of planetary exploration. You go to a planet, there's stuff there, there's things to see. It's not just a moon surface, if you will, to ride around. And then every once in a while, there might be an installation you could go visit. But for the most part, it was just driving around rock. That was one of the downfalls, not downfall, but one of the things I took away from Mass Effect that I did not care for. I don't know that they're going to be able to, you know, do anything about that other than maybe spice it up a little bit, make it a little bit better, sounds like. But on a whole, planetary exploration wasn't that great in Mass Effect.
Uh-huh.
You wanted to know my controversy. This is what I was going to bring to the table.
Well, it hasn't got boring for me yet. I mean, the last big mission that I did, I went down a mine. I defused a nuclear bomb, even though I said I wasn't going to. I fought zombies. Then I randomly went around the place, got attacked.
By the way, I see what you put on screen, you cunt.
What? Sorry about. And and then randomly a question mark came up and I got attacked by a Thresher Maw, which was a fantastic monster that I'd completely forgotten about. Uninhabited planets don't have Las Vegas on them, Greg.
They should.
They don't. Seriously, uninhabited planets are pure. They're ready for, that's what's called exploration. You know, Dr. Livingstone, I presume, you know, he was in the fucking jungle. There was no McDonald's there.
But there were trees, there were birds, there were things to see.
I get it. This is 2007. Come on, man.
Fair enough. By the way, yeah. The Maw, when I think of the Maw, yeah. I think of the game The Maw.
The Maw. Oh. Yeah. So, look, I'm having a ball with it. And as Big Smooth says in the chat, I'm enjoying it. And I'm finding my joy in that game as well. Controversial? Well, I don't know. I don't know.
The only thing controversial about my opinion about Mass Effect is that I think, in hindsight, we have a very fond memory of this game, and I don't think the game holds up maybe as well today as many people want it to be.
No, I think the storytelling in Mass Effect is fabulous. Maybe some of the side
stuff.
They
did create a good universe. They did create a good universe.
So for me, that's even more important. Yes, the graphical fidelity now is nicer. It looks better. But the thing that was the big draw of it, you can forgive some of the boring little tiny bits. Oh, I'm going to scan, drive for 5 minutes across this barren planet and scan this thing that just give me a few XP points. The mainline story is solid, and the expanse of that universe is just... It's lovely. It's nice to get... I just imagine being there. You know.
I really wanted you to say the expanse of that universe was expansive.
If you thought it was a long way to the chemist and back, you won't believe how big space actually is, Greg. It's a long, long way. It's like twice as far away to the chemist as it is, you know?
Yes.
Anyway.
All right. In a galaxy far, far away.
Yes.
Let us transition. Real quick, anything else, Robin? Did you play anything else?
No. There's only one game at the moment.
Only one game. Okay. Well, fair enough. I, too, have only been playing one game at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I decided after a few months of allowing patches to happen and fixes galore.
Is that Patches O'Houlihan? He's the world champion of dodgeball?
Yes. I revisited Cyberpunk 2077. And I have to say, I really, really like this game. I am impressed by what CD Projekt Red has done. I know it is surrounded by controversy, but I don't care. On the Series X, this game runs great. It looks great.
It looks like shit to me. It really does look bad to me. I think it's fucking shit, man. I mean, really?
Yeah, of course you do. Mass Effect looks good, so yeah, I get it.
I mean, there's a guy I'm looking at here on the screen, and he's smoking. I mean, what's that about? I mean, you would have thought in the future they would have had vapes or something better.
They've cured cancer, Robin.
Did they go backwards again?
to that point, by the way, it always amuses me to see people smoking these days, when in a day and age when we've known so much about smoking and how bad it is for you, but people still do it.
But Greg, I would love a cigarette right now.
Exactly. See?
It's been years. Cyberpunk. It has been years and years, but I still have the crave.
You still get the craving?
Yeah. Just not again. Not a lot. And I'm off the vapes. I don't vape anymore either. For several years now as well. But now and again, I still get the, that would be nice. Yeah. And then I would have one and go, anyway. Sorry, I was being the cunt there. I can take that off the screen now, too.
Cyberpunk, though, it is so good. And I did not really pay attention to the voice acting in this, and the direction of kind of the scenes. But they have done such a good job. Just the characters, they feel real. It doesn't, I'm not coming across, outside of like NPC characters, the NPC characters, you walk up and they say like one or two words to you and then, and then they're kind of ignoring you type thing. But the characters that are part of the story that you get into dialogue and there's dialogue choices with them, they've been great. Huh. And I'm just really impressed with the game. I've been playing my character V. I did the female version of the main character, and I decided to go as a corporate fixer. That's kind of the premise behind my character design and what I'm doing, and it plays perfectly with the storyline so far. So I'm quite pleased with everything.
Why did you pick a female?
I had started off the original playthrough before I stopped was a male, and I said, you know what? Because I don't play female characters often. But I do like the voice actor in this game. She does a good job. It sounds believable in terms of how she delivers her lines. So I was like, why not?
See, I mean, I thought about this with Mass Effect. I mean, should I play as a female? I like the idea. Because I did play as a femme ship in Andromeda and enjoyed it a bit. I did. But there was a challenge with me. And it must be, and it's wrong. But just the thought of somebody banging me, I just didn't like it. So that's why I went for male Shepherd. I'm sorry if that offends people, but I'm a man.
It kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah,
it does.
I didn't want to be. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm in touch with my feminine. I don't know if that will be an option for me within this game, but we'll see.
Okay.
I'm sure it might be. Given CD Projekt Red's kind of history with games, I'm sure at some point there will be an opportunity.
A unicorn.
It's good. It is a deep game. There are a lot of different systems, and I think this is one of the things that might challenge, those that are not used to big RPGs like this. You have your gunplay and your armor, but they also have hacking. They have this kind of, I'll call it like detective vision ability that you can bring into play that is hacking through cameras, if you will. So you can replay a scene. Kind of reminds me a little bit of what The Division did, where you could kind of look through security cameras and watch some, basically a crime happen, and you can kind of rewind it and understand, who was there and how it went down.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to it, but it just is so good. Just everything feels right now. And again, maybe it's because I'm playing on the Series X and the next-gen systems are handling it better, equivalent to what the PC was doing. Because the one thing I remember when this game came out was everybody was like, oh my God, the PS4 and the Xbox One versions of the game were horrible, horribly broken, couldn't play. But on the PC front, kind of everybody on the PC side was like, no, this game is great. It's playable. It runs good. And so I think there just really was that division of technology and platforms. And I feel like the Series X and probably the PlayStation 5 version, if you bought it, because you can't get it right now, because Sony still is not having this in the store.
Really? Still?
Yeah.
What about the Xbox? Not available in the Sony store. And the Series X version is available?
Yeah. Yeah. Microsoft never took down the game off of their store. They did allow refunds to anybody that wanted a refund, but they never took it down. But yeah, it is a great game. And if it continues at this rate in terms of what I've seen so far, this very well may be in the running for my game of the year by end of year.
Wow.
It's that good. I've just really been really, really enjoying what I've played so far.
So the gameplay and the story is really good.
Yep.
Wow.
Absolutely. And visually, it looks fantastic. And this is not, this is not the next gen version, if you will, of the game. This is the Xbox One X version of the game on the Microsoft side with some enhancements. They did do, there are some patches within it to give it a little bit of a bump for the next-gen consoles, but they did say they plan on bringing out an actual next-gen version of the game, but of course that got delayed with all the heaps of problems. And I was kind of like, you know what, I'm tired of waiting. I want to dive into this. I'm okay with it not having ray tracing. If you want, by the way, a good example of ray tracing while you're watching the stream, all you have to do is look at Robin's camera feed. You will see what ray tracing is, because you look at your glasses on your face, you will see the real-time reflections of your monitors behind it. It's been kind of funny. I've been thinking about every time I'm watching you, like, talking to, I see your monitors come up and reflect into, and I'm like, yeah, that's like ray tracing right there. Anyway, all right.
Cool.
Enough about that.
Kill him.
We are going to move on. Let's move on into... Well, the community stuff. This is a new post. Robin, why don't you talk about CP Matthew?
I will, but I just want to ban somebody or something.
Yes.
If you don't mind, you maybe do that. Yeah. I don't actually know where this came from. It must have came from a question from Chris. And he's answering the question whenever we asked it. At OC Podcast, what brought me to the Xbox was the long wait for the PS3. I got fed up and bought a 360. Mostly backwards compatible titles at first, then Mass Effect and Grow 2. Thursdays sealed the deal. So, again, it was supply and demand back then for PS3. It's funny, I bought a PS3 before a 360, but I never used it. I brought it back to the shop, and then I bought a 360. Isn't that weird? I wonder what would have happened if I had opened the PS3 first. I mean, would I have been a little, you know, liberal Sony man, or what?
You totally would have been, yeah. You would have been, all about the exclusives, baby.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, that was why. I think actually what it was is I think Judith got really pissed off that I went and bought a PS3, so I brought it back. I wasn't allowed to have it, and then I went and bought I bought a 360, and it was a third cheaper than it actually was.
Oh, how times have changed.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Oh well.
Mr. Matthew, thank you for sending that. We do appreciate that. And I remember Mass Effect, Grow 2, both those games kind of coming out. Those were kind of the big hitters on my end too. I remember just how excited I was for Grow 2. And then subsequent releases of that game disappointed me. Or series, I should say. But that's okay. It happens. All right, let's talk some news, Robin. Talk some news.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, so on the news front, we do have a number of stories. So first and foremost, if you are a big Overwatch fan, Overwatch 2, they're going to be changing around the formula. They are reducing player counts. It's going to be 5-on-5 now moving forward, as opposed to, I believe it's 6-on-6 currently. So even though it's not coming till 2022, they did announce this would be happening. Basically, you're team will now consist of 2 damage dealers, 2 support heroes, and a single tank as opposed to 2 tanks. So, and ultimately they said that this made it a little bit more accessible because you didn't have to account for 12 players on screen. Now it was only 10. And so new players might be a little bit more user friendly to them and accessible.
I never played Overwatch. I always meant to.
Same here. I never got into Overwatch. I know it was hugely popular. A lot of people love that game. It just didn't seem like a game for me. I think
there's too much other stuff going on or something at the time.
So. Yeah. Speaking of Mass Effect, if you are a No Man's Sky player, you can get the Normandy ship in No Man's Sky. So basically, they announced that there is this, you can unlock the Normandy by completing the Beachhead Expedition within No Man's Sky, and you have till May 31st to do this. So, but basically, you'll be able to add the Mass Effect's iconic SSV Normandy.
There it is on the screen. Yeah, that's cool.
It is pretty cool. That's a cool crossover kind of thing. I love seeing this stuff. So we'll see if how that goes and how fun it is. Because my understanding is you can't actually board the ship and fly it, but you can send it off to do stuff. But maybe they'll expand on that capability as time goes on.
Fun thing. Fun.
Speaking of time,
mm-hmm.
Do you remember the game Time Splitters?
Yes.
Well, people have been asking for Time Splitters to come back. They've been talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. Well, finally, we have confirmation that it will, in fact, be returning. The original developers are reviving Time Splitters through Deep Silver because they bought Free Radical Design. And so they're bringing it back. We don't know when, but we know it's coming.
Wasn't there talk about a Time Splitters movie at one time or another as well?
I'm sure there was. I just know a lot of people are going to be happy when this comes out or the thought of it coming out. But I will say this again. Sometimes what we ask for is maybe not what we actually want.
Yeah. It sort of looks like sci-fi GoldenEye, doesn't it?
Yeah. I kind of hope they really update Time Splitters to be more modern. I liked the notion of Time Splitters back in the day. I wasn't like a huge like fan of the game. And kind of fast forwarding now to some Nintendo news. I know we don't talk about Nintendo a whole bunch, but this is worth mentioning. So the Zelda Skyward Sword Switch remake is locking a fast travel feature behind an amiibo paywall. So the Zelda Skyward Sword HD remake that's going to it will release with an amiibo figure for $25. Apparently, to use fast travel, which was not in the original game, from my understanding, you have to buy this amiibo, and the amiibo will allow you to fast travel in the game. Kind of shitty if you ask me.
I don't know.
Looking into the chat a little bit. There's some funny comments going back and forth. I'm not a fan of this kind of thing. Look, if you're going to put a gameplay mechanic into the game, and you're doing a remake, just make it in the game. Don't try and lock it behind a paywall, and putting it into an amiibo functionality is just ridiculous. I'm sorry. This is a bad look for Nintendo.
Yeah, well. You know what? You either love this Nintendo game stuff or not. I've played. I mean, this is a fabulous game. The Zelda game is fabulous. Really, really good. But I got bored with that. I don't know. It wasn't Mass Effect-y enough for me.
Well, speaking of things with a good look, The Last of Us Part 2 now runs capable, or I should say you can put it into a 60 frames per second mode on the PS5. So patch 1.08 came out and is adding in the display option to either go at 30 frames per second or 60 frames per second. So if you like the faster paced 60 frames per second, you could do that.
So, Mr. DeLacy, tell me, is Last of Us Part 2 now available on Steam?
I don't think it's available on Steam. Huh. I could be wrong. I don't think so.
Did you know, because aren't they releasing a lot of PC games?
They are. They put Days Gone out on Steam right now. That was the big release. I want to say it was like a week back or so. Sony unveiled Days Gone. And they had a number of other games and some DLC that were there. But I think those were all already PC releases. But we know there will be more. I think Sony is starting to ramp up this whole PC side of it. They're seeing the benefits of releasing some of their older titles onto PC.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to see Day and Date. But you will get newish releases coming out, maybe a year old.
Okay.
So, yeah, stay. You know, I think it could come at some point. Sure. E3 is around the corner.
Huh.
I'm personally excited for E3. You know what? It feels like more returning to normal, even though it's going to be an all digital event. You know, it's still exciting. We're still getting that goodness of a set time period of game announcements in June when it should be. And
if you kind of think about it, Greg, it always has been for us, unless you've been physically at it.
Right. Yeah. You know, 100%.
So those interviews, you might not have the same big audience, but those interviews that hasn't changed much. Maybe the atmosphere is the thing that's been lacking through these stiff things. I don't know. Anyway, sorry, I digress.
And that's worth noting. I think the biggest change for E3 this go round, it being virtual, is not for us, the consumer, because it always has been a digital event for us for the most part. It's really the press and how they manage E3 and dealing with it.
Yeah.
To that point, talking about E3, we know that Microsoft and Ubisoft and Nintendo and I forgot some of the other companies, that they're all going to be doing press events. Jeff Keighley has always been a big part of E3. He kind of stepped back from that last year and he created his Summer Game Fest, which was his E3 replacement last year. I think it went over horribly. It was not a great event because it was basically just kind of spaced out across all of summer. It just never really directed attention towards any one thing.
Okay.
Well, he is back, and apparently it seems like he is partnering up with E3 on this, in that the Summer Game Fest will kick off E3, even though it's unofficially kicking it off. It'll be basically the week before E3 starts, and they have got a ton of publishers involved with this. So Blizzard, Devolver, PlayStation, Electronic Arts, Epic Games, 2K, Amazon, Capcom, Sega, Warner Brothers. I mean, pretty much all the heavy hitters are going to be there in some fashion or another, showing off some stuff during his Game Fest. Maybe just some teases, if you will, that'll lead into the actual E3 kickoff and event. And that has me excited. That just means more goodness for us over the course of a couple weeks as opposed to just one week.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's good. Well, and hopefully there'll be a lot of stuff there that people were quietly working on during COVID that now they've got some new stuff. So I think maybe next year is probably a very, very big game for some quality titles.
Still think COVID, we're still going to feel the effects of development delays with COVID for at least another year.
Yeah.
At least another year. But one of the, so this last story, and this is the last story in the news, but this was interesting to me, and I think this actually came out probably a couple weeks back. But I don't know if you recall, I think it was 2-3 months back, where Sony bought an esports event. I forgot which one they bought, but they basically bought an actual esports event, event maker, for lack of a better way to term it. And I always thought it was such a curious move on Sony's part, because I was like, well, why would they care about esports that much? I mean, it just seemed like a very weird investment, given Sony has not been the biggest on the esports front. Well, I found this story, and ironically, I was trying to find a story involving talking about what Sony's plans were for kind of the E3 timeframe, and I haven't found anything as of yet, by the way. But there was this story about Sony patenting its own esports betting system.
Wow.
And that got my attention, because now suddenly things made more sense.
Wow.
They have their own esports league, and now they have developed this patented esports betting system. So basically the story, just the brief summary of it, is Sony Interactive has filed a patent for a platform that would allow customers to guess the outcome of esports games such as League of Legends, Dota 2, or Overwatch, using a combination of video game technology and real-time betting technology. So they patented it. It would allow users to bet on sports betting using the same technology as traditional sports betting. So that gets us into a very interesting, weird area, because one, we had the whole loot box thing, right? And there was the outcry about loot boxes because it was gambling and it was allowing underage people to gamble.
So how do you do that in America? Isn't there some states where you can't bet across straight line or state lines, stuff like that there?
Well, yeah, it's just straight up. It's gambling is not legal in all states. Only certain states have legalized gambling. So you're not allowed to bet on sports legally, like in California. I can't, although that may have changed. You don't have betting houses or bookie houses that you could just go and place wagers on football games, that kind of thing. In Nevada, you do. And you can do that legally in Nevada, but in California you can't.
Huh.
So this is an interesting area because there is online betting and online booking, and there's certain regulations within the U.S. that allow that to be okay. It's an interesting path for Sony to take, and I do also wonder if we're going to not have similar backlash to what we saw with loot boxes, because you're basically exposing a system to minors.
Big Smooth says that isn't illegal any longer.
So isn't illegal anymore. Isn't, yes.
Illegal any longer. So.
Yeah. So it certainly is not illegal. And I know online gambling is legal in the US and we have it. The question boils down to, you know, we talked about the loot box situation that happened, and there was a big kerfuffle, and I think it was the EU that came down kind of hard on loot boxes, and they called it legalized gambling, and the real problem was it was minors that were being kind of opened up to this. So I'll be really curious to see how Sony treads this path and what they do with this.
It's funny, when I mentioned that Joshua was working on this little documentary about communities, and his thoughts on the future of gaming very much is around esports. Very, very big part. I mean, today, seemingly he's at home this weekend, and he's been sitting watching for a good bit of the day, on and off, finals from Paris of, oh, the lovely shooter, the three or four against four. It's
CSGO?
No.
Counter-Strike?
Yeah, or the one that we used to play. God damn it! It was only a few years old, and you had to attack the terrorists. There was Terrorist Hunt as well.
Oh, Rainbow Six.
Rainbow Six. Yeah. So he's watching the World Championships in Paris of it. Anyway, the way his thoughts are is that this is becoming more and more mainstream as the youth of today. As they've grown up with it, even more so than us, it's normal that it will be a big, it'll be sporting event, like as big as, you know, your football, your Formula One, or whatever it may be. It'll have a massive viewing audience to more and more mainstream. And you look at the production quality of some of the stuff now, and I can well believe it. So, you know, maybe they're getting way ahead of the game here.
That could very well be. I certainly think esports is going to continue to grow. It certainly has. It's already carved out its spot. I think for it to get even more accessible, I think they have to have games that build in kind of more that arena view of the action that's going on, as opposed to, you know, the camera views of the players. I know they switch back and forth, and some games do have kind of more of that arena view. I personally like that view, so I can just kind of see all the action happening, and you can kind of see the tide of the war, if you will, or the battle that's happening.
It's interesting. Games are now very much mainstream. You know, for guys, for girls, agreed. You know, it's just something that people do now. They just do. So that's good.
They do. Hey, I want to give a shout out, by the way. Big Smooth has been he's been chatting us up big time in the chat. Lord's been there as well. We had Hardly Dan in there. Of course, we had a couple little bots come through. Fantastic. Thank you for that. And then we also saw Gamer Girl in there for a little bit. I don't know if anybody else has been in the chat or not. If you are there and you're being silent, that's okay. Listen, have fun. And if you want, take part in the chat. We'll definitely take that feedback as we go through. And Big Smooth does bring a point. Is esport really a sport? That is the real question. So I think esports are competitions. They're not necessarily sport.
This is the game old thing about... I mean, is chess a sport? You know,
no, it's a game.
Is snooker a sport? Is pool a sport?
No, I would say they're competitions. They're gaming competitions. They're competitive, and this is not to be a slight, but I think of sports. I think there really is an athletic element to it, physical conditioning. And yes, you can say, well, esports, it takes physical conditioning to sit in that chair and play the games for as long as you do. Okay. But it's, you know, for me, a sport does involve physical athletic capability. Competition and competitive games and competitive gaming, which I think is really where esports falls into, that is a competitive aspect. It certainly is still very much... you know, there's no slight there because it takes skill. Mm. It takes some endurance, but it's a different type of endurance. It's a different type of competition. And there's nothing wrong with that.
F1 is definitely a sport. You watch Monaco today, yes. 68 or 78 laps around that intense concentration. These guys are uber, uber fit.
There's an athletic element to physical driving. Mm. And it's funny because I always used to say racing was a competition of technology. And to a certain degree it is, because the technology that goes into those vehicles is tremendous. It's a difference maker sometimes. But equally important is the physical conditioning of the drivers to be able to endure and withstand those races.
Yeah, I don't mean, sorry, Big Smooth, but you're saying there about, they just sit there. Well, they do sit there, but if you ever look at these guys, their necks are double the size of our necks because of the G forces as they go around the corner, and they exercise that neck, those neck muscles, to make it so they can actually survive that, the amount of effort and G's that they have. So, I'm just jealous. I want to be an F1 driver. Or a caber tosser, because I mean caber tossing is definitely a sport. Maybe it's the tossing part of it that I like the best. I'm not quite sure.
Who knows? All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about the new releases coming up, Robin.
Oh, I'll do that. New releases. Let's play some new releases music, shall we?
Here we shall.
New releases there. Okay, coming out on May the 23rd to 29th, we've got Biomutant on the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. That's on May 25th. Final Fantasy X's and 1's and V's. Oh, Jesus Christ. PlayStation 5 on May the 25th. King of Seas on the PlayStations and everything on May the 25th. Maneater, that's the shark one, on Switch. That'll be good. Shin Megami Tensei 9 Nocturne HD Remaster. Hi! On PlayStation 4 and Switch and PC, also on May 25th. Earth Defense Force World Brothers on the 27th for 4 PlayStations and Switches and PCs. There are only 4 PlayStations because nobody can get them. Odd World Collection on Switch. That would be a good buy for you, Kim, if that's a lot of the Odd World games. Good buy. The Idol Master Starlit Season, PlayStation 4 and PC, and The Longest Road Earth on PC on the 27th of May. Wonder Boy Asha in the Monster World. I've Almost Died by the Sword on PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC on May the 28th. And World's End Club on the Switch on May the 28th. Those are your new releases for this week. Go and enjoy them. Wonderlust Boy sounds kind of good too, Greg. I almost fell by my own sword. There you go. What do you do? Who buys games anymore, apart from the biggies?
It's interesting. So Biomutant is one that's been on my radar. I think reviews are coming out tomorrow or the next day.
Okay.
Really kind of curious. This is one I might pick up. But now that I've dumped into Cyberpunk, I may just hold off and and let this get at a discount down the road. But it's one that I'm kind of excited for. So, and Oddworld looks good. Well, the Oddworld collection, I think that would be a good, pickup for any Switch owners.
Yeah. If it's a whole lot. Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything else on this. I honestly don't care about Final Fantasy. So, I mean, that's the furthest thing from a like excitement announcement for me. And nothing else on here really, again, is, I mean, Earth Defense Force, I guess that might be cool. I know some people love those games. I've never really gotten into them.
It's a sort of a guilty pleasure game, isn't it? One of those ones.
Yeah, very much so. That's the Earth Defense Force. That's where you have like the giant ants and insect monsters. Yeah. All right. Robin, we're just going to keep the hits going here with Victories Achieved. That, of course, is the competition where you complete a game. We ask you to submit your completed game with some kind of photographic evidence of yourself and the game in the background. And you can do that on Twitter. You can email it to us directly. You can send it through us to WhatsApp. Basically, get it over to Robin in some fashion or another so he can track you and keep track of the games you've completed. And the good part about this is, of course, if you're so lucky and we select you once a quarter, you could win $20 or £15, depending upon what side of the pond you live in. And that could be for PSN, for Xbox Live, for Steam, pretty much anywhere except for Nintendo, because we don't like Nintendo.
No.
Kidding. We'd figure it away. We'd figure out a way. But yeah, no, we really try to reward our friends and our community within this gaming world. By completing games, and it just makes for a fun competition. So, Robin, do we have any victories?
Yeah, there's just a couple this week. Lord, who's in the chat, good lad, he's actually on the screen as Mongoose Lord, and he finished Hitman 2, had a good time with it. And the next one is from John Mouse. Now, I've got the photograph on the screen right now, Greg, and he finished Gears of War 4. Now, last week you gave him a bit of stick about the photograph that he had put up. And can you explain that, please? What did you do? You came down on him hard?
No, all I did was so he had sent in this picture of himself that, yes. I mean, it looked like he had just woken up. Yeah. I don't know. It was like a very disturbing image of John. And he posted that to us saying he had just completed a game. And so I reposted that on Twitter and just, you know, was like, this is kind of disturbing. And it was a very simple post, but apparently everybody in the community picked up on that post and started making comments. And so John had replied saying, this is me crying, still crying over Greg putting me on blast on Twitter. And I said, John, in a reply to him, there are tough decisions we have to make in life, and putting you on blast on Twitter was probably the easiest one I've ever done.
You see, the photograph that he put with this completion, I kind of think is worse, Greg. I kind of think I'm very disturbed by it. It looks lustful. It looks like he's trying to be cute in a. He wants us. I can see it in his eyes. Can you see the lust in his eyes? Look, he wants to get that ring finger somewhere where the sun don't shine. I can just see it. So I'm worried. I'm very worried, John. I thought fatherhood would have calmed you down, but obviously not. Anyway, for you two guys, well done. Get your victory achieves in. And for those that have achieved it, now we play the sound of Greg shagging Vic Tory in a tree.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
There you go.
Victory!
Victory in a tree. Yes. I have to remember that. That's good. All right. Well, it's that time. We've raced through a show.
It's an hour and a half. That's a show.
Yeah, hour and a half of goodness. Mm. Thank you, everybody, who have stuck it out so far and listened to us all the way through to the end. We, of course, will be back next week in some fashion or another. We should have quite a bit of people on next week's podcast. It will be a crowded room for sure. Robin.
Yeah.
I'm just going to jump into shout outs. I don't think there's anything more here to say other than let's give some love to some people.
Yeah, the big smooth in the chat there, that was kind of fun there. Kim stuck her knob in. She doesn't have a knob. Her neb, that's her nose, and for a while. And Lord...
A nebby knob.
No, Lord, you know, definitely he is the podcast champion this week. Yeah, I just want to wee shout out to Phil. His father passed away, and that funeral is very, very shortly now, so our love goes out to that. Mark, I'm really looking forward to you getting back. Ginger boy, don't really care. And Amar, some of the community members have been having a hard time, and some people have lost friends and family and people they work with through WooFlu, and it's bad. So take it seriously. It is, you know, be sensible. Even though they're talking about things lightening up a bit, still be sensible in yourselves and be nice to each other. And thanks for listening. We have a good time. I have to say, there are three sisters, my wife and her two sisters, and they're probably not there now, in the house having another committee meeting about Love, Share and Foster, which is this thing on Instagram, which has really taken off for them. So please, if you're not interested in fostering or whatever, it'll really help them if you could do me a favor. It would give me brownie points.
Right.
If you go onto Instagram and like @_LoveShareAndFoster, that would really, it might get me a bit of, you know, rumpy bumpy. You never know. Anyway, just do it, because she'll kill me if I don't.
I know.
So yes, they talk about fostering and fun stuff and have a bit of a laugh and fostering questions and stuff like that there. And they do it all naked. It's well worth watching. So if you subscribe to it, you'll see my wife and her sisters all together naked. They do it that way. Honestly, it's very exciting and all very genuine. So please do that.
Yes.
And thanks, Greg. Absolutely. Thanks for having Robin, me. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for jumping on and partaking in the podcast. And yes, @LoveAndShareFoster. We need to help Robin out because he's gotten rid of his hot tub, which was the incentive for the rough and bumpy. So he now needs another incentive for the rough and bumpy. This might be the way.
Yep.
Otherwise, I mean, it's going to be to what, August, you said, when you break out the hot tub again? That's like a 3-4 month drought.
I'm like,
that's a long time.
I'm like Father Christmas.
Yeah. Anyway, as you mentioned, of course, to the community, there's been some rough times. Not, you know, there's no way around it, and it's hard when any of us lose family or friends. We are always here, though. You can reach out to us. We will let you bend our ear and just vent, if nothing else. And as Robin said, being sensible, it's a pretty easy thing to do. Just be sensible. I think that is the most important thing we can do as we move forward. Shout out to the community. It is all about you. This podcast is a community podcast. We look forward to talking with Fraser Moores and the SEAL podcast and talking about this wonderful idea he has about trying to create this big collaborative podcast channel of community. We'll see how that goes down. I don't know if it's still alive or dead. I haven't heard from him since he reached out to me, but that's okay. That's a Canadian thing, I think, more than anything. Yeah. Big Smooth knows about that. Those Canadians, they have these great ideas and then they just disappear. Yeah. Anyway, love you guys. Toodles. We're done. Let's fire up the end music. Let's get out of here.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.